Says visual. Sharing. I think I've shared this with you in the past, the Portland devotees. In the very first summer, 1970, when I was a young devotee, bhakta at the Boston Temple, short version of ISKCON Press was in Boston. And when we came back from Sankirtan, every evening, we weren't supposed to go bother the art devotees, but I did. I didn't get told to leave. So I would sit and just watch them paint the paintings. And as they were painting, they would narrate the pastime of what they were painting. And I grew up with my baby pablum was seeing paintings of Krishna, because at that time, second canto and then Krishna book were being worked on by the art department. So hearing the pastimes and seeing the paintings put everything together for me as a lover of a picture speaks a thousand words. And so that's one of the main reasons why when I make presentations like this, I like to show the artwork, because it creates a picture in the mind, a visual picture in the mind of what we're also being given through the ear, the image or the vision through sound. Govardhan Leela, as you see, Krishna standing on a mound because he was just 7 years old. And there were elders who were much taller than a seven-year-old, so he stood on a mound as he held up Govardhan Hill and kept the mountain above the heads of everybody and enjoyed pastimes with them uninterruptedly for 7 days. That's the pastime. And the pastime begins with Govardhan or Giriraj. Giri means hill or mountain, and Raja means king. So the king of mountains, he was given that title by the mountains that were the sons of Drona, Dronachala. Dronachala is in an area west, according to Garga Samhita, west of Bharatavarsha, in a place called Shamali Dvipa. So the description in Garga Samhita goes like this. In Krishna Loka, Krishna was smiling very mildly and sweetly, and Radha noticed, and she asked Krishna, what's the cause of this happiness that you're feeling? And Krishna's reply was, very soon, both you and I will descend to the earthly realm and perform our eternal pastimes there for the benefit of all. And Radha was a little hesitant, expressing, how can we be separated from the river Jamuna and all the cows and Govardhan Hill? These three items were mentioned. And Krishna said, that is not a problem. All have made their appearance in the material world, and they will also be with us when we perform our pastimes together. Thus, Radha was very pleased. So how Govardhan appeared in this world is described in Garga Samhita, that by Krishna's indication, Giriraj descended as the son of Drona, Dronachala. And when Giriraj, he got that title, Giriraj, because the other mountains recognized he's the best. So he, from that time, he was called the king of mountains. Giriraj, and also Govardhana. Those names were given from the time of his appearance in this world. But Shamali Dweep is some distance from where Krishna would perform his pastimes. And so a transcendental arrangement was made when Palashyamuni, who you see in the image here, a sage, was traveling to various holy places. His place of residence was Kashi. And when he came to Shamali Dweepa, he saw Giriraj and was charmed like anything and made the request of something like Vishvamitra Muni making the request of King Dasarath, please grant me this one request. And without knowing what the request was, Dasarath said yes, Drona also said yes. And Drona saying, yes, whatever it is you like, you're a great sadhu, what would you like? I'd like to take Giriraj with me back to Kashi. There are no mountains there. And if he accompanies me, I can then perform my austerities and activities on the slopes of Giriraj. Now, Drona was a little taken aback that he was being asked for such a favor, but he couldn't say no because he already said yes. And so Drona turned to Giriraj and said, if he wishes to go, he may go. So Giriraj said, certainly I can go, but there's one condition. And the one condition is, once you pick me up to take me to where you want to take me, to Kashi, once you set me down, wherever it is that you set me down, I will not move again. So Palashya was fine with that condition. And Palashya had the capacity, like Hanuman, of carrying a huge mountain, mystic power, lifting of a mountain, and carrying that mountain a long distance. As fate would have it, as Palashya was passing over the area of Vrindavan, he had an urgent call of nature. And so he, forgetting the promise that he made to Giriraj, he set Giriraj down where Giriraj is today. And when he finished his business, he came back to continue his journey to Kashi, but Govardhan wouldn't move. And Palashya asked, why is this? You came with me this far. He said, you gave your word that I would not, once setting me down, I wouldn't travel further. I'm not going anywhere else. Palashya could understand the intention of Govardhan, saying, you know that Krishna's pastimes will take place here very soon. And for that reason, you tricked me to carry you all this distance. So then I curse you for having tricked me, that every day, henceforward, you will shrink the size of a mustard seed. Here we see at the bottom image, Palashya uttering this curse to Giriraj. Now, according to Garga Samhita, here's the dimensions of Govardhan when Palashya brought him to Vrindavan. 115 kilometers long, 72 kilometers wide, and 29 kilometers high. That's the equivalent of two yojanas, or it says 18, it should be 16 miles. Have you seen a mountain that's 16 miles high? That's a very high mountain. But when we look at Govardhan today, Govardhan is now only 80 feet tall and the highest point. So that means the curse of Palashya is still in effect. Not only people who take Govardhan Shilas to be worshipped in their home. But the height of Govardhan is shrinking. And the Vrijvasis say it's not because of the curse of Palashya, who can curse Govardhan, but it's the feeling of separation that Govardhan is feeling from the presence of Krishna and his pastimes. Here's another very nice painting of Palashya lifting Govardhan Hill to bring Govardhan to Keshi, but he never made it there. He only made it to Vrindavan. Now I'll ask you a question. You probably heard this question before. If you were asked on a Bhakti Shastri exam to state who is the best of Krishna's devotees, you might say Arjuna, because Krishna says Bhakto Ime Sakha Cheti, or you might say the gopis, they're the best. Or you might say Radharani, she's the best amongst the best. Or you might say Balaram, because who can surpass Balaram in the mood of being the servant of Krishna in all the five rasas? But let's take the words of the gopis found in Srimad Bhagavatam and their statement about the best of all the devotees of Hari is Govardhan Hill. Hari Dasa Varya is the Sanskrit phrase in the words of the gopis about Govardhan Hill. And they make this following prayer. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Isn't that the mood of a servant? Whatever the master requires, without even asking, abundant supply is there for the needs and requirements of the master. Such as water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Not only respect, but act of service. Here's a very nice painting of some caves in the side of Govardhan Hill where Radha and Krishna could perform their pastimes together. Or sometimes Krishna would go there with the cowherd boys in the caves when it was raining. Or when it was the heat of a summer day, they would enter into the caves and it was cool and soothing. Or in the peak of winter, those who have been to Vrindavan know winter, especially at night in Vrindavan, can be very cold. So the caves would provide shelter for the cowherd boys and the cows. The gopis continue. Govardhan features soft roots for eating, jewels for ornamenting the body, and flat places for sitting. Here's Radha Krishna sitting together by the side of Govardhan Hill, and they're seated on one of the flat places provided by Govardhan for their comfort. Another very beautiful painting, those of you can see. Up on the slope of Govardhan Hill, there's some cows grazing, and down by one of the streams is Krishna seated on a flat rock, Radha seated on a flat rock, and Krishna enjoying the pastime of playing upon his flute, and Radha's heart being chanted and charmed as they're sitting by the side of Govardhan Hill. Another very beautiful painting. You can see in the distance there's some cows on the side of Govardhan Hill. At the very top, you can see a temple. We'll describe this temple a little bit later. And there they are, the divine couple at the base of Govardhan Hill, enjoying themselves with Govardhan in the background. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Thus, Krishna, in the form of Govardhan Hill, shows how to render pure devotional service. The phrase used by the gopis is Haridas Varya. It's a nice phrase to remember. Haridas, of course, you know, the servant of Hari. And Varya is superlative. It's the best, or he is the best of servants of Hari, although he's also Hari at the same time. Here you see an aerial photo, or a Google map photo, of or image of Govardhan Hill. Now, Govardhan Hill is quite long and narrow, as you can see. Here it's pictured in a diagonal position, but actually Govardhan Hill is due north and south, with the tail at the bottom on our lower left of this photo, and the head on the upper right. It's described that Govardhan is like a peacock, and the torso, the middle part of the peacock's body, is Govardhan Hill. You can see in small print, there's Govardhan. And just underneath the letters of Govardhan is Manasi Ganga, a very celebrated part of the Govardhan Hill or Govardhan circumambulation experience. And at the very bottom, it's like a peacock perched on a branch of a tree with the tail of the peacock drooping, punch, the left-hand corner is the tail of Govardhan, then going up to the right, the head of Govardhan, with the two eyes of Govardhan, as Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, and the mouth of Govardhan, Mukharavind, is also there in that section of Govardhan. In this way, the white section, the middle, like torso of the body of the peacock, that's Govardhan town. So there's an image of Govardhan Hill, and now let us begin the pastime. The pastime takes place when Krishna was just 7 years old, and it starts in the afternoon, because in the morning, the cowherd boys were hungry, and there was this discussion with the Brahmins, and then the wives of the Brahmins, who supplied Krishna edibles in a very wonderful mood. And after that pastime was completed, came the Govardhan Leela. The painting that you see here is Krishna seated along with Balaram next to him, having a discussion with Nanda Maharaj about the yajna that was being arranged. Krishna saw massive amounts of articles and paraphernalia meant for some kind of a festival. So he inquired from Nanda, "My dear father, it is the duty of a father to give teachings and instructions to the son. So I would like to know from you, it appears that there's a big festival. Can you tell me what is this festival that is being arranged? Is it something that's," he gave two options, "is it something that's enjoined in the Vedas, or is it a family tradition?" Now, things that are family tradition are not just pushed to the side, but they don't hold the same gravity or weight that something that's enjoined in the Vedas holds. So he wanted to know, which of the two is it? And if it's enjoined in the Vedas, then I have additional question, and that is, please describe to me the purpose of this particular festival or sacrifice, because even when you do things that are enjoined in the scripture, if you don't know the purpose behind them, you don't get the full benefit. So, my dear father, please explain. Here's another very nice painting. You can see in the foreground, in the front left of the painting, there's the paraphernalia for the yajna. In the left side of the painting, that's the brahmanas ready to perform the yajna. And behind Nanda Maharaj and on his right side, there's the elders of Vrindavan listening very carefully to this discussion between Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. When Nanda Maharaj was asked by Krishna, here's his reply, if it's a sacrifice for Indra, why? Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Now Krishna deliberately had been contemplating King Indra, who's pictured here on the screen, riding Airavata, this elephant carrier of his. Indra is very, very opulent. And like some people who are very, very opulent, there's a tendency for such people to become proud. And we all know Krishna doesn't like pride in the hearts of his devotees. So he's making a plan and executing his own plan for how to curb the pride of Indra. This is one very significant part, which is mission fulfilled. Indra's pride becomes curbed. He has additional considerations. One of the qualities of Krishna described in Nectar Devotion is that when he does one thing, he's simultaneously accomplishing many things. One of Krishna's qualities. So an additional thing that Krishna wanted to accomplish was he wanted to give, this is my favorite one by the way, he wanted to give all the residents of Vrindavan an opportunity to be with him uninterruptedly. Because the normal flow of Krishna's pastimes during different parts of the day, he is sometimes with the cowherd boys, sometimes with the cows, sometimes with the elders, sometimes with the young gopis, sometimes in the barn milking the cows. In different ways, he's giving attention and affection to different of his devotees in Vrindavan, but when he's giving attention to one, the others are not envious, but they're feeling some separation from Krishna. And this is quite natural. In any relationship, there's meeting, and there's separation, and things are incomplete if it's only one or only the other. So to make the relationship complete, Krishna wanted to be with the cowherds, all the cowherds people and all the cows and all the calves and every living entity, even the birds and the beasts and everyone, being together uninterruptedly for a period of time. That was one of the main contemplations of Krishna for the Govardhan Leela. So Krishna's here, you see on the screen, what he's speaking is called Karma Mimamsa philosophy. You can read the details in Krishna book. But essentially, Karma Mimamsa philosophy says like this. There's no need to worship God. Whether there's God or there's not God, there's no need to worship God. Because if there's God, then he is simply dispensing to others according to their good and their bad deeds, their destiny. He's the dispenser of destiny. So that means above God is karma. So just do good karma and everything will be nice. You don't need to worship anybody. Even if there is an Indra, no problem. Let there be an Indra. Do good work. No need to worship Indra. It's an atheistic philosophy. So instead he said, take all this paraphernalia and make instead a sacrifice for the pleasure of three things, cows, Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. Everything that's been collected as paraphernalia for worship of Indra, let's perform a yajna for the pleasure of these three. And all the items of ghee and grain and so forth, let's let them all be cooked and make various food preparations like sweet rice and vegetable soups, fancy cakes, baked and fried, should be prepared. And milk and milk products should be taken for this sacrifice. That's Krishna's indication. And so that's what they want to do. The Brahmanas should also be engaged. Those who know the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then, after all of that, feed the priests with the nicely prepared food, reward the cows, give them cows and gifts, and after giving food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog-eaters. We don't know about dog-eaters in Vrindavan, but Krishna's mentioning them anyway. You should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. So guess what? They did all the things that Krishna said. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely and then circumambulate cows, brahmanas, sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill. Here we see little Krishna and Balaram by his side, and right directly behind him is Nanda Maharaj and his elder brother Upananda and their wives and other elders of Braja. Down below, that's some cowherd boys. And over to the right, looks like demigods observing this activity. Hearing from Krishna, the cowherd community simply wanted to do whatever is pleasing to Krishna, naturally, spontaneously. Here we see Nanda beginning some abhishek of a Shila of Govardhan. They did all of what Krishna said. They arranged for the brahmanas to recite auspicious Vedic mantras, and the paraphernalia that had been gathered for the sacrifice, they presented various offerings to Govardhan Hill and to the brahmanas with reverential respect. And the cows, look at all these cows. It looks like the inside of a palace. So that's what the goshals in Vrindavan looked like at that time. And ample supply of grass for all the cows. And then, as Krishna wished, the cows, bulls, and calves were put in front, and they all circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Here on the left side is more of the feeding of the cows. On the right side is the cowherd boys milking the cows so we can have their celebrated yajna. And following behind the cows and the calves and the bulls, the beautifully ornamented cowherd ladies followed along, riding on wagons drawn by oxen. And they sang the glories of Lord Krishna, and their songs mingled with the brahmanas chanting of benedictions. Picture in your mind or hear that sound vibration of many brahmanas chanting Vedic mantras, the ladies singing songs in their inimitable, delightful fashion, describing pastimes of Krishna, particularly pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Here we see this is the very first of the Govardhan Parikramas historically. And when we go on Govardhan Parikrama, we're just following in the footsteps of Nanda, Jasoda, and the cowherd community of Vrindavan. It's a very nice painting of the heaps of cooked items. The big heaps look like cones. That's mounds of rice and pots with cooked vegetables and dairy products of so many descriptions and cakes, and we'll hear what some of those offerings were. Here is an area of Govardhan where the Anukut was set up. The many, 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 many cooked items were laid out, and it's a really huge area, as you can see. So they had a lot of cooking, and it filled up that cooking area. Krishna, then he wanted to instill faith that this wasn't just silly child talk, that really Govardhan is to be worshipped. So he showed an unprecedented, huge Hari form, form of the personality of Godhead, declaring in a booming voice, "I am Govardhan Hill." When Krishna saw this form of Hari that he had manifested, because it's his own form, very beautiful painting, Krishna came forward to teach by example and paid his respects to himself or to Lord Hari. And if you look behind Lord Hari, that's Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is both Krishna himself, and Hari is Krishna himself, and the two-armed childlike form is Krishna himself. That makes at least three forms of Krishna simultaneously present in the same picture, although their forms have differences. This is the nature of Krishna's inconceivable potencies. So Krishna said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy on us. So he offers his respects to Hari and takes the role of Hari Das, although the deity is Hari Das Varya, the image of Govardhan. And although the Annakut was huge, you saw that area, that piles and piles and piles of cooked food, when the offerings were made, lo and behold, everything soon disappeared. That is, Sri Hari ate everything. So that was very nice, except Krishna then called out, or Hari Das called out, "Aniyor, Aniyor," which in the local language means, "I want more." Maybe some of you had in your worship of, or will do later today, a worship of Govardhan Hill by doing like what you see. There's Hari Das, or placing before Govardhan Hill. So many cooked items. Different temples have their contest the next year that have to do better than the previous year, and so on. Just sharing, because it's a working day in China. Tomorrow in China is Govardhan Puja. But because they work, so they had their Govardhan Puja celebration today, which was their evening, which was our morning. And huge hill of Govardhan in these little gatherings of devotees. I'm inspired. I hope you are too. All around the world, this Anukut offering to Govardhan is just at the heart of the practice of bhakti for everybody. And many, many, many. Some, 50 preparations, some 64 preparations. And, they're just into it just because it's pleasing to Lord Hari. This is Govardhan Puja. Meanwhile, in the heavenly realm, Indra was really agitated because he understood they were going to do, Nanda was going to do a sacrifice for me, but instead it got hijacked by a little boy. Little boy, 7-year-old boy. Nanda just got bamboozled. He got misled. And now they're accepting Krishna as their Lord instead of me. So he became very angry. Yeah, that's the sound effects of the Samvartaka cloud. I hope you can hear it. Is going to make some more noise again. One more. Indra summoned the cloud of devastation, not just thunder clouds, but the cloud of devastation called Samvartaka, and instructed Samvartaka to go to the earthly realm and destroy the whole of Vrindavan. Go remove their pride and bring their animals to destruction. I will follow you riding on my elephant and taking with me powerful wind gods to decimate the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. It was like a murder plan. He was getting revenge because they want to worship Govardhan Hill, like Krishna said. Well, Samvartaka was reluctant to do what he said, but he was more reluctant to not do what he said. On Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction, released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There, they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. That's a nice painting. That's the Samvartaka cloud looking angry, pelting Vrindavan. That green bulge, that's Govardhan Hill. And Indra is right behind him. Clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones, big ones. As the clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth became submerged in the flood. All that rain, no drainage, everything just flooded. High ground could no longer be distinguished from low. Danger, flooding is very dangerous. The cows and other animals shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies, pained by the cold, what did they do? Krishna, help! No, Krishna decided to help. Krishna, Krishna, oh, most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra, O Lord. You are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Nice, their first thought was the cows, even before themselves. Of course, flooding is dangerous for everybody. But their occupation and their spirit is cow protection. So they care for the cows like their own children. If parents are in a situation where their children are in difficulty, it's not at all uncommon. They'll risk their lives without thinking about it for a moment to save and rescue and bring from harm their dependent children. So the cowherds are like that with the cows. They love the cows. They're placing the cows to be saved first. But since you're affectionate to your devotees, you can... It's okay, you can save us too. That would be nice. Shivering from the excessive rain and wind, the cows and other animals, pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter, because he's their only shelter. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood this was the work of angry Indra. So he provoked Indra. Sure enough, Indra showed his wrath. Now Krishna is considering, because this is in part what he wanted. He wanted to curb the pride, and so he will. Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. Take a close look at this painting. You see the flooding going on the left side. Now, we've rearranged the painting so that this shows Krishna's right hand raised in the air. It's backwards. It should be the other way around. So later you'll see it the other way around. But notice just above the water, there's Sudarshan Chakra. And we'll hear, well, we'll say it now. As the water was flooding, and Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, what was preventing the water that was flooding from going underneath Govardhan Hill after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill? And one answer, there's more than one, is the Sudarshan Chakra was so hot and moving so swiftly that the water just evaporated and those underneath Govardhan Hill were safe. So Krishna's considering cribbing the pride of Indra. Because we have stopped this sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain, together with terrible winds and hail. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. I will break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness. My purpose is to bring them relief. It's not retaliation or retribution or anger or the wrath of God or something like that. Some people think it's like that. It's not like that. He simply wanted Indra to be relieved of his pride. And so the pastime has that as a very specific element. Also, I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter. I am their master. Indeed, they are my own family, like his children. They are his children. After all, I've taken a vow to protect my devotees. So Krishna springs into action to protect his devotees. With my mystic power, I will protect the people of Raja, who have taken shelter of me, who consider me their lord, and who are all my relatives. This is my vow. Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill. That's the background music. Just as easily as a child lifts and holds up in the air a mushroom. Mushroom is sometimes described in the Vedic literature as a frog's umbrella. Maybe you've heard that before. So as the frog has his umbrella, Krishna's arranging for the human umbrella or the Brijbasi umbrella. Govardhan Hill is that. And as easily as one may lift a mushroom, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. And he called out to the members of the community, "Oh mother, oh father, oh residents of Braja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows." Then we see downpours of rain coming down on top of the hill, but they're all safe because they're underneath the hill. Now there's several images showing water coming down the side of Govardhan Hill. Here we go with Krishna with his left hand up instead of his right hand, done forwards. And they're all rushing from the water to come underneath the hill of Govardhan. Lightning coming down. Here's a nice image, particularly on the right-hand side, there's gopis and Krishna's glancing at the gopis as they're glancing at him. Again, as Krishna's standing on this little mound in the center. Right behind him is Balaram, enjoying the fun. This is such a celebrated pastime, you'll see many different variegated paintings, but this is, of course, a celebrated one. Krishna lifting the hill. Very beautiful painting of Krishna. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Sri Krishna, the resident of Vrindavan felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue, and Lord Krishna, seeing their beautiful forms, also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. They did this for 7 days and 7 nights uninterruptedly. Whether it was the elders, or his friends, or the young gopis, or the cows, or they all were in ecstasy, so much ecstasy, they didn't even think of sleeping. You see in this painting, beneath Govardhan Hill, there's some draining of water coming down the sides of Govardhan Hill. But it's over the side, the people are not getting wet. And up on top of the hill is a temple, a very famous temple, a temple of Govindaji, or Gopalji, this celebrated image of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill is within that temple up on top of Govardhan Hill. We saw this image before. Again, he's got his left hand up in the air. This one's backwards. Should be his left hand, but it shows his right hand. We'll fix that. You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. Just hearing Krishna's words, they became peaceful. Their minds as pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. Now, in this painting, you can see behind Krishna, there's Nanda and some of the other elder cowherds. They have their canes sticking up in the air because they're thinking, oh, this young boy, he thinks he's holding up Govardhan Hill, but it's actually, we're holding up Govardhan Hill. We have very strong arms. Krishna, recognizing their feelings like that, he slowly started to lower Govardhan Hill. And then they were worried. So they understood, no, we're not doing this, it's Krishna. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst, and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there, holding up the hill for 7 days, as the people of Raja gazed upon him. Now you can try, if you like, hold your arm up in the air for however long you want to hold your arm up in the air. You know, a few minutes, an hour, 2 hours, all day long. You can't do it. A whole week. So you're just holding without a hill on your arm, you're going to get tired. But Krishna didn't get tired. They were enjoying in within just by seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. Lord Krishna held up the mountain while his praises were chanted by the residents of Braja, all of whom had now the opportunity to dwell together with him, and who glanced at him with joyful and amazed eyes. Thus, the cowherd men and women were all elated, and out of loving affection, they opened their eyes wide. Now this is an unusual painting, doesn't look like the whole of Vrindavan is underneath, just a few. And up on top there's two peacocks up on top of the hill and some lightning in the sky. But it's an artistic rendering. We'll hear the animals and birds and so forth. They were also not disturbed because they were in such proximity to Krishna the whole time. There in the upper right-hand corner there's Indra riding his elephant. And below the hill, the residents of Vrindavan feeling fully protected by Krishna. Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill is full of fascinating details and has for thousands of years remained one of his most famous pastimes. Here is Krishna lifting the hill with Nanda directly in front of him, but notice the cowherd boys are on one side and the young gopis are on the other side. And Krishna is exchanging loving glances at this time with the young gopis. So their separation from Krishna was being pacified by seeing him uninterruptedly for 7 days. Here's an ISKCON artist, I believe it's Vrindavan Das, with the eight principal gopis and Radha. Radha, of course, is enthroned and seated before her, playing the tambura, wearing a peacock-colored dress, is Lalita. And to our right, or to Radha's left, in a blue sari with diamond studded sari, is Vishakha. And surrounding Krishna are the other gopis, offering various articles, waving chamara, and bringing edibles and playing musical instruments. They're enjoying being in Radha Krishna's service. This painting you saw, just the right-hand side of it, now it's the whole painting. This is a B.G. Sharma painting. Ordinarily, a large Karhud community, which included many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Sri Govardhan. However, because the hill was in ecstasy being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. In other words, no problem. Bring it on. They're in ecstasy, in any case. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. Expressed in Hari Vansha, another Vaishnava text, Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds, what to speak of the simple land of Braja. Now the gopis, they themselves were wanting Krishna's protection and shelter and association. But Krishna's capacity to give that shelter is easy for him. No problem at all. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs, and other animals and birds standing on the hill's flanks climbed up to its peaks, and even they did not experience the slightest distress. We can see in the image there are some birds pictured. There's some temple also. But all the varieties of life being in proximity to Krishna were feeling ecstatic. For 1 week, the animals and people all remained free from hunger, thirst, or any other discomfort. We fast for a day, that's something. Fast for more than one day, that's not very common. And fast for 7 days, unheard of in our modern time. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an alternative explanation of why the flooding didn't go underneath the hill. He simply says that Krishna had some potencies by which the water evaporated. And immediately, the water was dispelled. So Krishna could stand there like you see here in this image and not have to contend with the difficulty of the flooding by his own potency. Here's some other paintings of this celebrated pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. Notice in both of these paintings, they show Krishna and Balaram, and they look really tiny. The one on our left, he really looked cute. Looks like his pajama shorts on or something. But they're enjoying being with Krishna, in any case, dressed in blue in the painting on the right, that's of course Balaram, and dressed in yellow, that's little Krishna, 7-year-old Krishna. Finally, Indra got it. This is, I'm not the all-powerful. I'm dealing with he who is the all-powerful supreme, that's Lord Krishna. And he became astonished at the power, seeing the unlimitedness of Krishna's power. His pride being now curbed. We see a painting in the front. That's Indra offering obeisances. By his side is Surabhi. Behind him, in the lower right-hand corner of the painting, is the Airavata elephant. And we see the sun coming out through the clouds at the top of Govardhan Hill. Krishna says to his friends, hear some birds? It's the spring birds. My dear cowherd men, please go out with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain has stopped, and the river's high waters have subsided. From the sky, the demigods saw all this happening, and the image is meant to show showering flowers from the sky and beating their kettle drums and blowing on their conch shells and singing the glories of Krishna. They were as happy as can be, and the residents of Vrindavan were happier than happy as can be. They were in ecstatic love for Krishna, specifically in conjunction with their natural love for Krishna. And while everyone was watching, the same Supreme Lord Krishna who lifted Govardhan very carefully, very gently placed Govardhan back in exactly the same position as it was before. In the center of this photograph of Govardhan Hill, you again see a photo. This is not just a drawing. This is the photo of that temple. Now we, in ISKCON, we follow Lord Chaitanya. We don't go walking on Govardhan Hill, but some of the Vrijbasis do. And so they maintain a temple up on top of Govardhan Hill like this, a temple of Gopal. Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes, singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and all other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, who had so deeply touched their hearts. So this is the end, essentially, of Govardhan Leela. We have one more little section I'll continue. That's the deliverance of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. That's the Damodara Leela. This is Indra and Surabhi offering their prayers. So there we see Surabhi, mother of the cows, came from her planet to see Krishna. She was accompanied by Indra. Now there's a little detail that you may appreciate. There are Surabhi cows in Krishna Loka for sure. In addition, there's some detail given by our acharyas that in the heavenly realm, there are expansions of the Surabhi of the spiritual realm in a planet in the heavenly realm. That's where Indra went at the suggestion of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, to invite Surabhi from the heavenly realm to come with him to pacify Krishna. The thought was, you made such a big mistake, a blunder, an offense to Krishna. He may not even look at you. But if you bring someone who is very dear to him, Surabhi, then his mood will change. So that was a good plan. That's what Indra did. He went to the abode of Surabhi in the heavenly realm, and they descended together, along with Airavata. Here's a little line drawing showing Indra with Surabhi offering obeisances to Krishna. There's a whole section of prayers which we're not going to go through. But Indra, seeing Krishna effulgent, looking very contented, Indra recognizing his blunder, he offered many, many prayers. Beautiful prayer. It's a nice section to read. Some of the prayers from these drawings you'll see, some of the prayers are here. Your transcendental form, a manifestation of pure goodness, is undisturbed by change, shining with knowledge, and devoid of passion and ignorance. In you does not exist the mighty flow of the modes of material nature, which is based on illusion and ignorance. How then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger, and envy, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence and which cause one to become further entangled in material existence? And yet, as the Supreme Lord, you impose punishment to protect religious principles and curb down the wicked. Pretty interesting way of Airavata offering Abhishek. He's got a bucket or a kumbha. Exactly, it was in his trunk, and he performed Abhishek for Krishna. You are the father and spiritual master of this entire universe and also its supreme controller. You are insurmountable time, imposing punishment upon the sinful for their own benefit. Indeed, in your various incarnations selected by your own free will, you act decisively to remove the false pride of those who presume themselves master of this world. Even fools like me, who proudly think themselves universal lords, quickly give up their conceit and directly take to the path of spirituality, to the path of the spiritually progressive, when they see you are fearless even in the face of time. Thus, you punish the mischievous only to instruct them. Again, here's Airavata in the upper left giving Abhishek to Krishna, and in the upper right, that's Surabhi giving Abhishek to Krishna with her downpouring milk. Engrossed in pride over my ruling power, ignorant of your majesty, I offended you, O Lord. May you forgive me. My intelligence was bewildered, but let my consciousness never again be so impure. So this is Krishna and Balaram with cowherds behind him and Nanda Maharaj apparently, hearing the prayers offered by Indra. You descend into this world, O transcendent Lord, to destroy the warlords who burden the earth and create many terrible disturbances. O Lord, simultaneously you act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet. Again, nice painting. There's Airavata performing Abhishek. There's Indra with his hands folded offering prayers. And right behind both of them is Surabhi, looking for her chance to also bathe Krishna. And in the upper portion, that's the demigods showering flowers upon the whole scene. Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of God, and the great soul who are all-pervading and who reside in the hearts of all. My obeisances unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. Now, it's certainly great fortune that that Indra's getting the opportunity to come before Krishna like this. Even if he's been an offender, by his side, he's taken off his crown. And Krishna's very patiently listening to his nice prayers. Having appealed to Lord Krishna, Mother Surabhi, upper right corner, from her transcendental body, she's bathing Krishna with her own milk. And in the upper left, that's Airavata. Indra, ordered by Aditi and other mothers of the demigods, anointed the Lord with heavenly Ganga water from the trunk of Indra's elephant carrier, Airavata. Then, in the company of the demigods and great sages, Indra coronated Lord Krishna and gave him the name Govinda. Now, commonly we hear it's Surabhi that gave Krishna that name. Indra is not our Indra, you're our Indra, so we'll call you Govinda. So he gets some attention here, Indra, at least the attention from Krishna to curb his pride. And here's a nice Sheila of Govardhan, being worshipped very nicely with Tulsi Mandris left and right and sideways and up and down. Govardhan likes Tulsi. And here's Krishna herding cows around the side of Govardhan Hill. Here's a nice contemporary photograph of Govardhan. It's not during the rainy season. It's a little on the dry side. But gives you, this is the Anior area where the Anakut was set up. And here it is during rainy season. Much different, isn't it? Very lush, very nice. Here it is on the dry side again, a little further down. Nice photograph of Govardhan Shila. In Mayapur, those of you who have been to Mayapur, you'll know behind, in the back area of the main headquarters of Bhaktisiddhanta in Mayapur, that's Chaitanya Mat, Bhaktisiddhanta, identified that everything that's in Vrindavan is also in Mayapur, and he established this hill of Govardhan in the backside of that same compound, saying this is where the transcendental likeness of Govardhan Hill is in Mayapur. There's Govardhan Hill. And a little trail as cows are coming down the slopes of Govardhan Hill today. The deity representing this image of, or the pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill was later found by Madhavendra Puri, eventually ended up as now today being worshipped as Sri Nachi and Natadwar. And those of you that were with us during the Dwarka Yatra, we saw the Srinathji deity very nicely worshipped to this very day. And here is a nice painting. So that's it for our pastime of worship of Govardhan Hill and the Govardhan Leela. And I think I kept within the time that was allotted to me. I stretched it a little bit, but I hope that's okay. Indra, Govardhan Hill, the cows. Here on the side of Govardhan Hill is a print, a mark in one of the shilas that's said to be one of the hoof prints or footprints of Airavata, the big mark, the big depression in one of the shilas. It's on the western side of Govardhan Hill, where Airavata Kund is to be found. So let us offer our respects to Govardhan Hill. I'm sure you're going to, in your own way there in Portland, be observing some kind of many, many offerings to the deity, or perhaps in your homes, or a combination, as devotees all around the world are doing. May Govardhan, in the form of Haridas Varya, enjoy those offerings. and in turn reciprocate by bestowing love for Krishna upon those who are worshipping him like this. It's a much anticipated celebration, I mean, certainly by the cooks, and also those who make the hills of Govardhan. They really get into it. A little sharing. I was visiting in the Ukraine one time during Govardhan Puja. And there's many stories, but one of the stories is in Kyiv, which is the capital of Ukraine, they have an annual event that they make cake. Some of you may know Russian devotees, they like cake making. So they make a cake that each year is bigger and bigger and bigger. In that particular year, they had to rent a whole hall, and the television cameras were out filming how big this cake was. It was big as the hall. You know, it took several minutes just to walk around this big cake. And then, you know, they're circumambulating Govardhan Hill, having kirtan, and it's not just, you know, the Hare Krishna devotees, the whole population gets into it, dancing around Govardhan Hill on Ukraine national television. A big deal. Govardhan Hill is a wonderful celebration, is the point. Circumambulating the Govardhan Hill, circumambulating the cows, circumambulating the brahmanas, it's all part of Govardhan Puja. So let's see if there's some discussion. We're going to be allowing 10 to 12 minutes for questions and discussion. So if you're able to unmute yourself, you can speak whatever topic, question, discussion you'd like. And if for some reason that doesn't work, you can send something into the chat box and Parma here will read it out. We'll spend some time with some discussion.
Can you try speaking, Hare Krishna? You're speaking right now? Alright. So it seems like still not working, that means.
We're having technology problem. It worked in the middle part of today, and it's not working now.
So feel free to just post in the chat, and we'll read it out. There is some question on the YouTube, so let me just read it out from there first. Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is from Chandu Prabhu. This is Vrishabhanu Prabhu from Atlanta. My son Nandanandan, aged 5, has the following questions. Number 1, we know that we must not step on Govardhan Hill. Then why the cowherd boys other than Krishna are stepping on Govardhan Hill?
We follow Lord Chaitanya, who set the example of not stepping on Govardhan Hill, because he saw Govardhan Hill as none different than Krishna. But those who are in Braja Leela, they're in the platform of spontaneous bhakti, and they don't see Govardhan Hill the same way that Lord Chaitanya saw Govardhan Hill. So they, as you see in the image, the cows are grazing, but not only the cows, but the cowherd boys would move about on Govardhan Hill. They're on another platform of devotional service.
Question number 2 is, why Krishna doesn't get tummy ache after eating so much offering?
Oh, because he has the power of digestion.
And number 3 is, why Indra sometimes forget who Krishna is?
Because he has pride. And those who have pride sometimes forget who Krishna is.
Chaitanya Prabhu, I still do not see any questions. Okay, I see some questions now. The question from Madhav Hari Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. The covered men or women of Vrindavan are in the mood of parental love and affection towards Krishna, and they are in the mood of protecting Lord Krishna. Usually parents want to protect children rather than approach children for protection. Do they have awareness of Krishna as God?
No. They have awareness of Krishna as their dependent son or their dear friend or their lovable friend, and some as the servant master but not as God. They have all the rasas but not with the understanding of his divinity and his opulence.
Next question from Radha Kunda Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, you have mentioned that you will talk about the temple on the top of Govardhan later. We want to hear something about that, something about the temple.
Yes, I pointed it out later in one of the images. At the very clear at the top of the hill, wasn't just a drawing, it was a photograph. The photograph of the Gopal temple. So after Madhavendra Puri discovered the Gopal deity, eventually a place of worship, an altar, and eventually a temple was established, and that's that temple that you saw at the top of the hill. Later, for safety, the deity of Gopal was taken at a far distant place. Now that same deity is worshipped in Gujarat, in a place known as Nathadwar, but there's a Pratibhu, or replacement deity, in that temple at the top of the hill.
Okay. Jaisitanandan Prabhu, can you try speaking Hare Krishna one more time? Just wanted to see if there is a hope. Okay, you're speaking. One more time?
No good.
All right.
Nice try. We're trying technology, but it's not cooperating. So let's go back to the text messages.
Okay. Next question from Narottam Vilas Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class with the wonderful slideshows and sound effects as usual. Maharaj, we were wondering, as Vaishnavas, do we consider Govardhan predominantly as Krishna himself or Varya, Haridas Varya, or devotee of the Lord?
According to your inclination, you can see either way. It's commonly, when we're doing worship of Govardhan, we place a peacock feather and a flute by the side of Govardhan Shila, which means we treat him or see him as Krishna, none different than Krishna. However, the other mood is also appropriate, particularly for those who are on the platform of spontaneous love. They will see Govardhan that way, like the resident of Vrindavan see Krishna like that. Haridas Varya, not Haridas, not Hari.
That's all I see so far. Are there any more questions? I don't see any more.
Okay, so since your RT, okay. There's something more?
There are on YouTube popping up more questions.
Okay? Go ahead.
Question from Amara Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, we heard in the morning what Vrindavan Vasis say, that Giri Govardhan is reducing due to separation from Krishna. We have also heard that love and separation is the highest form of ecstasy for pure devotees. How to understand these two aspects of love and separation for pure devotees?
How to understand them is to experience them. Like, how do you understand feeling full? By eating to your satisfaction, you know what feeling full is. You can understand the feelings of love and separation by coming to the stage of attachment. Then you'll know what love and separation is. So if you want to know what that feeling is, become attached to Krishna, and then you'll feel it.
Next question from Snehavalli Mataji. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. We know that after Brahma Vimohan Leela, Lord Brahma requested to be born as Haridas Thakur in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So how did Indra corrected his offense?
He requested forgiveness from Krishna, who granted it, and he went back. He didn't have the same good fortune to take part like Brahma did. He just received Krishna's forgiveness and he returned.
Okay. I don't see any other question.
So our apologies on this end, Jai Sachinandan and others. Yesterday, the sound was working just fine. This morning, the sound was working just fine. And just now, it's not working at all. So our apology, but at least I'm glad you could see the images. You could hear the broadcast of sound from this side. And we'll pray to Krishna to fix the problem between now and the next class in about 2 hours. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.